Good morning, everyone. Let's stand and let's go and worship the Lord. Spend a little time worshiping the Lord. Is there any joy in the house today of the Lord? Amen.
We worship the God who was, and we worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. When he opened the prison doors, he parted the raging seas. My God, he holds the victory. Yeah. When there's joy in the house of the Lord, there's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet, we shout out.
Says the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many are feeling strong today? How many are feeling strong today? Not in our own abilities, not in our own ways, but because the Lord is our strength. And the great thing about it is because the Lord is our strength, it doesn't matter what's happening in our lives, doesn't matter whether we're in the valley or at the mountaintop, God is the same. The yesterday, today, and forever, which means his strength never wavers. Any of you ever, your strength waver a little bit? Some days you're feeling a little stronger than others. Our physical strength wavers, but the strength of the Lord remains the same. And so we can have victory every day, whether we're walking through the greatest trial or we're celebrating the greatest victory. And so let's just go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your joy is our strength. And Lord, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, no matter where we're at, no matter what comes against us, that we will stay strong because you are in us. And Lord, we praise you that your presence is in this place. We thank you, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, we pray right now that we would just begin to focus in on you. Lord, that we would set aside the distractions of this week, the worries of tomorrow. And Lord, we would just place our faith and trust in you, knowing, Lord, that you will take care of everything that we need. Lord, we thank you that today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that we can see you work mightily in and through us. We thank you for that. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning and say, hey, I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. I was still greeting. I was sorry about that. Those of you online, you thought, I guess they're done. No, we're not done. We're not done. We were just greeting. Hopefully, you ever wondered, people online, when we go to the greeting, what are they doing? For now on, I need to just give them permission. Greet your cat. Greet your dog. It'd be fun. Maybe next week I'll challenge everybody online. Right now, you've got about 3 minutes. Run next door. Greet somebody. Greet your neighbor. Say, hey, I was just having church over here. Wanted to greet you real quick. Yeah. Yeah. And then they get a restraining order. Okay, so so glad to have you all here. If you're a visitor this morning and you have not gotten a card to fill out, sometimes we come through the foyer, we give you one, but if you have not, would you reach in the seat in front of you, the back of the seat in front of you there, and there should be a card that says, we're glad you're here. Would you fill that out and place it in the offering bag? It just gives us a record of your attendance, lets us know you're here so we can just tell you thanks for coming and welcome, and that would be awesome. And glad to see all of you in the house today, and those of you that made it online, I think the online thing has been great because it enables, sometimes you miss, sometimes you're unable to be here for illness or for whatever reason, and I always like to look on there and see some of our regular people and even visitors connecting with us, and I think that's great. Just want to remind you, this marks 2 weeks. We're in our third week of the 21-day fast, and you can always tell if we're in the 21-day fast because Pastor and I start to disappear. And some of the rest of you are starting to look a little slimmer too, like wearing some shirts you hadn't worn in a while. Thank you. Okay, so, but we want to encourage you to finish strong. If you haven't gotten an opportunity to join in the fast with us, it's not too late. Take this week, take a day, take 2 days. Take all this week and maybe skip breakfast or skip lunch every day or skip dinner, or maybe you want to cut out on that. You know, we'll cut into Sonic or 7-Eleven's overall soda sales, drink sales this week, and don't drink your Dr. Peppers. I know some of you, I said Dr. Pepper on purpose. I'm speaking to somebody in the crowd today. it's in the office right down the hall from me. Anyway, so whatever it may be, it could be social media this week. You know what? I had somebody tell me that they actually had two different people tell me this week that they have been fasting social media. And here's what they both said to me, independent of one another. They said, I didn't realize how much time I was spending on that. It freed their schedule and allowed them to do other things, mainly spend time with the Lord. And that's what fasting and praying is about, is setting aside that time that you spent where you was eating that meal or looking at social media or whatever it is you're fasting, and spend time with God. That's all we really want, all right? We're not trying to take anything from you. What we're trying to do is encourage you to add back more time with the Lord. And that can't hurt anybody. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight, the youth have a special opportunity. We are going to our Speed the Light one night. There's 5 services around the state where there'll be different speakers speaking about Speed the Light and encouraging young people to give to missions this year. Come on. And youth groups will, multiple youth groups will meet at each site, and they will make individual pledges as students, and then they'll make a group pledge as a youth group, and all with the endeavor to give sacrificially. And so that our missionaries can get the vehicles they need and the materials they need to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so our youth are headed to the bridge in Mustang. Pastor Chad's going to take them there, because as soon as service is over, I'm driving towards Woodward. I'm speaking the Woodward stop tonight. And would you agree with me? Would you just raise your hand if you'd agree to pray that not only the Lord would put their hand upon Mustang, but all the places, but the Lord would put his hand upon me as I speak to these youth groups, and hopefully their hearts will be touched to give money to missions this year. Amen? Would you raise your hand? Would you just thank you? Thank you. I covet your prayers just as I travel and as I speak. It's an honor, and I'm super excited about it. This next Friday is our Life Rally. That's our women's ministry missions event, similar to what the Speed the Light event tonight is. The women will meet and kind of do the same thing this Friday night. My wife Kelly will be leading that, and so she's raising her hand right now. There is a sign up out there, and you need to sign up and pay today, because it's $10 to go. There'll be a meal, and they're leaving at I believe 5:00 on Friday. And it's a great event, but Kelly needs to know so she knows how many spots to reserve for. So if you've been thinking about that, or maybe you just now said, you know what, I ought to go to that, would you sign up? And Kelly will be back there by the sign up to kind of meet you, and you can get that all figured out. And then last but not least, next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
You do not want to miss next Sunday. Evangelist Lynn Wheeler will be here. He's going to be speaking in the morning and the evening, all right? We're going to have 2 powerful services on Sunday and then on Monday night also. And so we would love for you to be here. And I think it's a great, as I said last week, I think it's a great time for these services, because it's a launching point right off the end of our 21-day fast. And so I think our 21-day fast puts us in the attitude of anticipation. And how many of you know that when you go into an experience with the Lord with anticipation, he never fails to meet your anticipation. He will be there, and he will, and if you're open, I believe he'll will fill you up with his presence. And so we're excited about next Sunday and next Monday, and I'm encouraging you to be at all three services and watch as the Lord moves in and through us. Amen. Amen. We ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen, amen, amen. What a blessing it is to give to the Lord. Want to also remind you, on the back table, you'll see these little bottles. We're partnering with the Eden Clinic. The Eden Clinic is a healthcare pregnancy wellness center that helps women who are going through maybe crisis, who are going through some difficult decisions as they're going through pregnancy, and helping them to make wise decisions and helping them to figure out what's best for them and their baby. And we support that wholeheartedly. And so we'd love for you to take a bottle, fill it up with some change. As the bulletin says, cash or check is acceptable too. You can place that in there. We need those back by Sunday, February 5th, so it gives you 3 or 4 weeks. And we would love, love, love for you to partner with us, because we believe in what the Eden Clinic is doing. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that today is the day when something big's going to happen, because today is the day where you move in and through us. And so, Lord, we come with anticipation of what you're going to do in this service today. And we thank you, Lord, for the tithe and the offering, those who give out of obedience. And Lord, we ask right now that you would just pour out your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, instead of going straight into worship, I'm going to ask Pastor Steve and Miss Carol to come to the stage with me along with the board. We'll give them just a minute. I don't know how many of you saw Pastor Steve's post on Tuesday, but January 10th was their 30th year ministering here at Noble Assembly of God, and we want to recognize them for their service today. So immediately after the service this morning, in the foyer, we are going to be serving cake. We are also going to have some fruit and punch for you all to receive and help us to celebrate Pastor Steve and Miss Carol. Now, we do realize you're on the fast, and some of you may say, Michelle, I can't eat either of those things. And that's okay. That's okay. The main thing we want to try to do today is just to let Pastor Steve and Carol know how much we appreciate them for their years of service here at Noble Assembly of God. And because 30 years is a really long time, a long time to be at one church. You were 12, see? I'm not going to say how old I was, because then you know how old I am, and we don't have to announce that from the stage. But we are, the board and the church is sending Pastor Steve and Miss Carol on an Alaskan cruise this summer. So we're very excited, and I know that they are excited as well. To go on the cruise. It's something they've been wanting to do for a while. So, Pastor Steve, I normally don't tell you how to perform your sermon, but if you could, at the end of the service, let Pastor Phil close out for you. We'd like for you, Miss Carol, to go back into the foyer, and Richard Blevins is going to take a picture of you guys with your cake, so you'd have that as a memory going forward. But I just want to let you both know how much I appreciate you, how much of a blessing you've been to my family. I know I've said this before, but there's been many times we've been sitting around the dinner table on Sunday afternoons, and my kids will bring up something that you said during the sermon, or they'll mention how much they appreciate you guys and all that you do. So not only have you been a blessing for Kevin and I, but you also have been a blessing to our children as well. And that means a lot as a parent, that, you know, you touch our kids, which is what we all have a goal for. Do either of you want to say anything? No? Okay. So you do? Okay.
this year makes about 5 years for Bobby and I being here, and we can definitely appreciate and love Pastor Steve and Sister Carol. He preached us happy a lot of times. And as Michelle was mentioning, one of the series of messages that I really have remembered was the Route 66 videos and all the messages Pastor preached that stuck with us all this time. But we really appreciate them, and I know they're going to have fun, and we just thank you for the opportunity to help them.
We just want to say thank you. Let's just give them a round of applause just to show them how much we appreciate and love them.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to have been here all these 30 years. Sometimes it seems like 30 years, and sometimes it seems like 3 years. And so we're just honored to continue to love and serve this congregation. We love each and every one of you, and what a blessing. Thank you for the trip. I've always wanted to take an Alaskan cruise. I've always thought that would be awesome, and to enjoy that. So thank you so very much. We love you very much.
We didn't know what Noble was when we came. And to me now, Noble's on the map. You know, our church is on the map. I praise the Lord for what all he's done for this church. And sometimes we feel like it's not where we thought it would be, but you know what? God knows what it needs to be here and for who needs to be here. And when we came, it's really pretty funny. We wrote down what we wanted in a church. And way back then, you know, when you're looking at 30 people the first Sunday, you're like, it was a change for us. But I remember writing down, oh, I don't know, a little church in a little town like this, 225, I don't know. But, you know, I've been telling God, I made a mistake. We need to be larger than 225. You know? But anyway, I'm blabbing here now, sorry. But anyway, we love you guys so much. Our kids, we thought we were so old when we came. Our kids grew up here, and they know more about here than they ever knew anywhere else. And I thank God that they have wanted to be a part of our church ministry with us since day one. That means more to me than anything that my kids have supported us through everything that we've gone through. And I appreciate Pastor Phil, Kelly, the boys, the girls, because they have been such a shoulder to lean on when they may not realize it. We appreciate good grief, Chad and Amanda, because you forget they're over in the other building. We did that position when we were in Enid, and you know, sometimes you forget that takes a very large sacrifice to not be among you on Sundays, to be able to talk with you and see you. But we appreciate the staff so much. We couldn't do it without any of the staff, any of the support staff. I could go on and on with who that is, but you know who you are. But we just thank you all for supporting us, and we just know God has us here for a reason, and that's why we're here.
Thank you.
All right, since you're all standing, we're going to go ahead and go back into worship. Don't forget, there's lots of cake and fruit. So after service, right after service.
Find me in the valley, standing with my hands held high. The valley will never take my song. Find me in the desert, holding on to you for life. The desert will never take my song. Oh, the desert will never take my song. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. And I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. You prophesy, still shouting of everything you've done. High up on the mountain, I was made to testify. Forever, you have my song.
And rivers through the desert. So no matter where you are in your life right now and the things that you're facing, God is saying, don't remember the things of the past. Look forward to the future, because I am going to make a way out for you. So let's just continue to praise and worship him and thank him for all that he has done and all that he is going to do, not only in this church and our church family, but in our country. Father, you are such an awesome God, that in every circumstance that we face, you are right there with us. for you said you would never leave us or forsake us. And we just thank you this morning for Pastor Stephen Carroll. What a blessing you have given to us. And today we just want to honor them and honor you by worshiping and praising you.
You call the sun to rise, and you lay it down to rest, and you hold this heart of mine. Such an awesome God, so mighty, so holy, so wonderful. Such an awesome God, so selfless, so generous, so
to the King of Kings. We just want to worship you. Just take a minute to just praise him and thank him for his love that he has for us. Lord, I just thank you for the love that you have for not only for me, but for everyone in the world. I thank you that, Jesus, you gave up everything to come to this earth, to die on a cross for me, so that I might live with you for eternity. We just worship you and honor you, Lord, this morning. For you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, you are the God of Gods, for there is no one like you. We praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. And worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, and worthy is your name.
Worthy is.
That one more time. You're worthy
of it all.
In praise to you, for you are worthy of all things. We bless you and we honor you, Lord, today on this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, we just pray that you would touch those in need of healing today. We pray that you would be with the Girth family, Lord, as Marcia had to say a earthly goodbye to her sister Mary this week. We pray for peace and comfort to be upon their family as they lay her to rest, but so glad that she is home in heaven this morning with you, and we know that they will be reunited again. Father, we continue to pray for Debbie Rowland, that you would be with her as she goes through her cancer treatments, Larry Newell, others, Father God, that we have knowledge of, that we specifically pray for on Wednesday nights, Lord, in our Wednesday night prayer meeting. We just lift them all to you, Lord. Lord, I pray for Mike Elliott, a man I met yesterday at the hospital. I pray that you would just touch him and heal him this morning, Lord, and let him be able to go home very, very soon. Father God, just have your way in this service this morning. Meet every need, we pray. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Mark as we're continuing our study in the life and the teachings of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. Title of the message this morning is Three P's of Following Christ. Three P's of Following Christ. So we stopped last Sunday morning at Mark chapter 3, verse 6, and we're going to actually start there today. We're going to read the last verse of where we left off last week and read down through the end of it's not the end of the chapter, but through verse 19. So picking up there at Mark chapter 3 and verse 6. At once the Pharisees went away and met with supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from east of the Jordan River. I'm not sure I pronounced that right. and even from as far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready so the crowd would not crush him. He healed many people that day, so all the sick people eagerly pushed forward to touch him. And whenever those possessed by evil spirits caught sight of him, the spirits would throw them to the ground in front of him, shrieking, "You are the Son of God!" But Jesus sternly commanded the spirits not to reveal who he was. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain and called out the ones he wanted to go with him, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, giving them authority to cast out demons. These are the 12 he chose: Simon, whom he named Peter, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, but Jesus nicknamed them sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful presence of the Lord in the service this morning. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would give us all ears to hear what you would have to say to us. Give us a heart to receive and a mind to put into action the things that we are reminded of and learn today. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon both the hearers and the one speaking. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when we left off last week, the Pharisees and others turned from complaining to contemplating how to kill Jesus, which brings up the first point of the message this morning. The first P of following Christ is pick your battles. Pick your battles. You see, Jesus could have engaged those religious leaders who were against him. He could have argued with them or set them straight or done something to let them know that that is not a good plan, but he chose to pick his battles. He chose to go to the lake and retreat away with his disciples, with his followers. And as believers, we must determine which battles are worth fighting. Sometimes it is better and wiser to just walk away and pray and put whatever the situation is in the Lord's hands and not to engage. Sometimes a battle just gets worse when we get all involved in it, like stirring up a fire. There are some people and situations that would better be resolved to just let it go. And then there are other people and situations where you just can't. Something has to be done. So we must wisely and very prayerfully pick our battles as Jesus did here. He chose to just retreat away. He chose to go to the lake, get with the disciples that he loved, and not engage those who were set against him. And sometimes it's good for us if we do that as well. There's an old saying that is helpful to remember at times: give someone enough rope and they'll hang themselves. Jesus, in a sense, did that with these that wanted to kill him, because in actuality, their plan backfired and people came from everywhere to hear him and be touched by him. They didn't want people coming to Jesus. They wanted to shut him down, and instead of shutting him down, they increased his reach. A whole new chapter opened up in the ministry of Jesus. Huge crowds came from all over. The greatest geographical reach in Jesus' ministry was right here. More people came from everywhere in this place at the beginning of his ministry than any other time. People came in droves, desperate for his touch. Even today, all around the world, people are coming to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus answers the deepest needs of the heart. Let me say that again. People are coming to Jesus because Jesus answers the deepest need of a person's heart. When a person opens themselves up to all that Jesus is and wants to do in their life, humbly comes to him, there is no limit to what God can do in a person's life. He will change you. He will give you reason for living. He will give you reason to want to get up in the morning. He will put purpose in your life and a destiny in your future as you leave a legacy of faith, and you will never regret. There will never be one person that in heaven, I've said this here just a few weeks ago, never will there be a person in heaven who ever regretted going there and walking with Jesus. Nobody in heaven's going to say, boy, what a waste. I can't believe I wasted my time following Christ, and here I am in heaven. But there's going to be a lot of people that's going to regret for eternity their decision to not walk with God, to not turn their life and their heart over to God. I said there are many people around the world coming to Jesus. Do you know where the fastest growing church is Christianity-wise? You know what region of the world, what country has the fastest amount of Christians, people becoming Christians? It's the nation of Iran, where there is some of the worst persecution. Tens of thousands of Muslims are abandoning their faith, and are beginning to follow Jesus. Some of them have testified of having dreams and visions about a shining man dressed in white that came to them even before anyone ever told them about Jesus. The Lord is appearing to Muslim people in their dreams and in their visions, saying, come follow me. And the fastest place Christianity is growing is in a nation where they have the worst persecution. It's on the top 10 list of countries where Christians are persecuted. Christians in Iran cannot go out on the street and share their faith and witness to their neighbors. They cannot worship publicly and put up a sign on the street, we are meeting at 10:30 today to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in constant threat of retaliation and trouble by the authorities. Yet praise God for what is happening even in the face of persecution. You see, religion doesn't satisfy. Let me say that again. Religion doesn't satisfy, but a relationship with Jesus Christ is life-changing. And that leads to point number two. Not only should we pick our battles, but number two, place your beliefs. Place your beliefs. Somewhere, somehow, many, 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 many people heard about the mighty miracles that Jesus had been doing and the healings and the deliverances of demon-possessed people, and they came for miles all over to hear him and to be touched by him. They came in droves, desperate for their Lord's touch. Oh, that the church in America was that desperate for his touch again. You see, we not only need the Lord's touch when we come to him the first time in salvation. How many of you know we need the Lord's touch continually? It's just not a one and done. Well, he's touched me, I'm good to go now. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord's touch every day. I need his help. I need his strength. I need to lay his hand upon me and feel his encouragement in my heart and in my life every day.
So may we be as desperate in these, in the, along with the people who came by the hundreds and hundreds to Jesus to get to him, may we be as desperate for Jesus today. But so many people came to Jesus, and he had a fear of being crushed by them. They were just, you know, just coming towards him because they had heard about him that Jesus told his disciples to do something. They said, get a boat and have it ready because I'm going to get in that boat and push out from the shore a little ways, and I'm going to be able to teach and preach from there. At that moment, in a sense, the healing ministry stopped because when he got in the boat, people could no longer reach out and touch him. He was no longer laying his hands on sick people once he got into the boat. I'll come back to that in just a second. But the water in front of the boat from the land would serve as an amplifier for his voice and for what he wanted and needed to tell them. Because, you see, he had a very important message that he needed to tell the people, more important than the miracles. What's more important than the miracles of Jesus? The message. As I said, Jesus could no longer be touched, and he couldn't touch people once he was out on the lake in the boat. But there was one thing that couldn't stop, and that was the message, and he didn't want that to stop. What was his message? Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 give his message. I'm going to look up here. It says, later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. That was Jesus' message. We preached on that several weeks ago. That was his message. Repent and believe the good news. The miracles must never overshadow the message. They only point to the message. The miracles are a sign that God is in the house. But God's message to lost man is more important than the miracles. You know why? Because you can get to heaven and be physically blind or sick. But you can't get to heaven if you're spiritually blind and a sinner. I can still get to heaven and be blind or be deaf or be crippled or whatever the need is in my body. But I can't get to heaven if I don't know the message of salvation and have not turned my life to the Lord. And so the message is always more important than the miracles. Thank God for the miracles. I'm glad the miracles have not stopped. I'm glad Jesus still heals. I'm glad we can still call upon him. When I was called upon yesterday to go visit the man at Norman Regional, I went up there and I prayed for his healing, and he was thankful for the prayer, and we prayed together that whatever the need was, that he would be made whole, and I prayed in full assurance of knowing that my God is able to touch him and get him home and away from the hospital. But more important, that is the message of salvation. I mean, our physical bodies, our earthen vessels are dying and will one day return to the dust from which we came. This is just dirt. Don't you feel valuable? We're just dirt bags. No. What's invaluable is the spirit inside of us, the part that God breathed into us that made us eternal living beings. That's eternal. But this body's changing. The minute you're born, you start to die. The older you get, the more you realize it. Your hair starts turning gray, and then it starts turning loose. Your skin starts kind of wrinkling. You don't look as young as you did. And so this earthly body is going to be laid down again. But our eternal spirit, the spirit that God put inside of us, will live forever in one of two places, either heaven or hell. So people must place their beliefs about life and death, about right and wrong, in the person of Jesus Christ and be truly saved. And actually, they must believe on him and not just in him. I've showed you that illustration so many times of believing on something. I believe in this chair. I believe it would hold me up. So you're saying, Pastor Steve, you're going to do that again. You've seen do that 100 times. Oh, well, somebody might. How many of you have not seen me do this illustration? You've not seen it. All five of you. Good. All right. Six of you. I believe in that chair. I believe if I sat down on that chair, it would hold me up. I believe in it. But now I believe on it. I'm actually trusting in it to hold me up just as I said it would. I want to tell you, the devil believes in God and he's sure not going to heaven. He's not a Christian. Thousands upon thousands of people in this country believe in God. They believe there is a God. They even believe in Jesus and the fact that he lived and died. And yes, I believe in God, but they've never trusted God as their Savior. They've never confessed him as their Lord and repented. So they're not believing on him. They're just believing in him. Believing in something is not the same as believing on it and trusting in it. So that's why I say there are going to be thousands of people that, yes, they believed in God all their life, and they're going to go straight to hell because they didn't accept it and trust and sit down, in a sense, in their faith and believe on Christ. Like I said, the devil believes. The devil has more belief in God than many people do. He believes in God. All the demons believe in God. We must trust Christ, repent, and confess him with our mouth and believe in our heart. 1 John 1:9 says. And then by our actions, we show that we are a believer on Christ, that he's our Savior. So when you only believe in him, you're kind of more like a fan. Not really a follower, or better yet, you're not really a disciple. You know, you can be a fan of someone and not really stay with them. You like fans of certain football teams, they'll do great and everybody's a fan. They do bad and the fans leave. Some fans, they're fickle. If it's going good, okay. If it's not, too bad. So tons of people that would say they believe in God don't have their name in the book of life. So we must place our beliefs in Christ and on Christ. One of the three P's of following Christ is pick your battles and then place your beliefs on him. And Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. That's what he came to do. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner. It's simply a learner. How many of you would agree with this statement? Jesus had 12 disciples. Raise your hand if you believe Jesus had 12 disciples. I pulled this on Carol yesterday. I said, how many disciples did Jesus have? She goes, 12. I go, no, you're wrong. She goes, I'm not either. I said, you're wrong. Jesus has thousands of disciples. He had 12 apostles. Disciples are called, apostles are sent. So much apostle in our day and age would almost be like a modern day missionary. Somebody that's sent. We support about 75 of them. They're sent. Those that are sent out with the message of the gospel. Missionaries would be probably our closest definition of an apostle in those days. But those 12 men had a specific assignment. They were the 12 apostles, but we mistakenly call them the 12 disciples. My point is, Mark 3:7 says Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples. He hasn't chosen any of them yet. We didn't get to that till later in the chapter. So anybody who has trusted Jesus and sat down on the stool, so to speak, that sounded bad, but sat down with Christ, trusted in him, they're disciples. This is disciple Darren right here. Now, there is a big difference between a person that's a disciple and a learner and a person that just believes in God. We've covered that, I think. You can believe and not be a believer, not be a follower, not be a disciple. So from his disciples then, Jesus chose 12 of them to be his 12 apostles, a specific function, a specific gifting for those 12 men in the early days of the church. You and I are disciples if we are learning and obeying Christ as Savior. Disciples stick with Jesus, whereas fans and followers turn back when the going gets rough. A true disciple will die for Christ if necessary, not just live for him. So as thousands came to see and be touched by Jesus in the Mark 3:7-8, where we read, by John 6:66-67, nearly all of them left. Okay, they've been coming by the thousands from all over, but look at John 6:66-67 says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, are you going to leave? Are you also going to leave? And we know that Simon Peter said, where else can we go, Lord? You have the words of life. So many of the crowd who came to Jesus wanting to touch him, wanting to get healed, pressed him so bad he had to get in a boat and get out from the shore. Many of the same crowd who was reaching out to touch him were the same crowd that a little while later was saying, crucify him, crucify him, away with him, release Barabbas. Same crowd. They weren't there any longer. True disciples follow Jesus all the way. I think we have to make up our minds. We want to be a true, committed, born-again follower of Jesus my whole life. Come life or death, I'm not giving up. I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm not doing it and following Jesus only if it's popular on my job and only if it's popular with the people I run with. No, I'm going with Jesus even if I'm the only one. I am sticking with him. If we are following Jesus, then we are obeying him. Mark 3:9, Jesus instructed his disciples to have a boat ready. That's just one little instruction. Guys, get a boat ready. We need to be so close enough to the Lord that the Lord could go and say, hey, Steve, go get a boat ready. Or whatever the situation is. George, go do this. Pastor Phil, do this, and we hear what he's saying. We must do what he tells us to do as the disciples did on that day. We must place our beliefs in him, in his word, and be ready to do what he says. Amen? And we have a whole book of things the Lord has told us to do. Now, we need to be wise and we need to listen. We can't do like the lady did that wanted to hear from God, or the man did, and he goes. And Judas went out and hung himself. Oh, no, that's not good. Okay, Lord, speak to me again. Go thou and do likewise. No. There's a better Bible study than that. Point three, not only do we need to pick our battles, place our beliefs. Number three, we need to produce his fruit. Some of you are unnerved that I didn't find that last B. Produce his fruit. Only fruit I could think of was berries. Some of you are saying, what is he talking about? If you know me well enough, you know what I'm talking about. It's got to line up, right? But no, we're to produce his fruit. Jesus calls us to bear fruit. And we'll talk more about that in a later sermon, but you can't bear fruit unless you are connected to the vine. Unless you have believed on Jesus. Unless you are following him and you're hearing from him, you can't bear fruit unless he is truly by his Spirit living inside of you. Among his disciples, Jesus chose 12 to be his apostles. That was their position in the body of Christ for that time and in that place in church history. And just as they had a call to serve in a particular time and in a particular way in church history, guess what? You have a call to serve him in a particular way and a particular time in history. Your call to what God has for you is just as important as Thaddeus's call or Matthew's call. God has a place for all of us to serve. We are the body of Christ. Yet within the body, we all have unique, individually created, we are all unique, individually created masterpieces with a heavenly calling. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Just as Jesus had plans for these first 12 apostles, he has plans for you and I. He knows your name. I think it's neat how the Lord lists the 12 apostles. He calls them Simon, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, and right on down the list. How many of you know he knows your name too? You're just as important to him as these men were. He knows all about you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He may even change your name or your identity, so to speak, as he did Simon. He nicknamed James and John, the sons of thunder. He changed Simon's name to what? To Peter. Dr. George Wood, who was the former general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, wrote a book called Fearless. And in that book, I'm going to read this. It's a little short excerpt out of this book. It's called The Gift of a New Identity. It says, author and pastor Bruce Larson tells us about the time when his boy was 6 years of age. His son began sucking his thumb compulsively. Nothing the parents did made him quit. Finally, in sheer desperation, they gave him the nickname Thumb Sucker, hoping it would shame him out of the practice. But things only got worse. Someone who had once been a happy-go-lucky little boy now become a saddened, eyes to the ground, shoulders hunched down son with the ever-present thumb in his mouth. Bruce said he was praying one day when he felt the Lord ask him, not audibly, but in the quiet way the Lord has of speaking to our hearts, is this the little boy you prayed to have? Are you happy with him? Yes, Lord, Bruce answered. Then why are you calling him Thumbsucker? The Lord responded.
Bruce Larson felt he had no good answer. He sensed the Lord speak again. I did not give you a thumbsucker. I gave you a wonderful little boy, and I want you to call him that. Right then and there, Bruce Larson decided on a new name, Mr. Wonderful. He rose from his place of prayer, found his little boy sucking his thumb as usual, picked him up, hugged and kissed him, looked into his eyes and said, "Hi, Mr. Wonderful." Larson and his wife kept calling their son by his new name. And it was only a short time until the son stopped all thumb sucking and returned to being his happy little self. They had given their son the gift of a new identity, a gift of grace from a greater to a lesser, a gift the son could never have given himself. And that is exactly what Jesus did when he renamed Simon as Peter the Rock. You see, the Lord saw something in Simon that others didn't, and that Simon didn't even see in himself. And as the Lord saw something in Simon, he sees something in each one of us too. He sees what you can become. Before we even had faith in him, the Lord had faith in us. We can trust the Lord to make us and change us to be his sons and daughters, new creatures in Christ with a divine purpose, a new identity, a new passion. And our purpose will be realized as we seek to be with him. Mark chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "Then he appointed 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach." I like the way the NIV or even the King James Version says that a little better. The NIV says, "He appointed 12 that they might be with him." The King James says that they should be with him. I think it's more than a geographical place that they were to be. I think the Lord wants us to be with him. Hence the reason for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Hence the reason for prayer itself. Hence the reason for coming to church and in worship. Hence the reason we should communicate and commune with the Lord all through the day. The Lord wants us to be with him. We can't physically be with him as we will one day in heaven, but we can be with him spiritually, mentally, in our minds, emotionally, as we walk in the Spirit, as we spend time in his word, in prayer, and in fasting, and worship, and witness, and working for the Lord, as we spend time thinking about our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with his Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We can be with him. And as we endeavor to be with him, he will send us out to do his kingdom work. Amen? He wants us to be with him. So in conclusion, pick your battles. You don't have to fight every single thing that comes your way. Every single criticism or complaint, some you just need to let them, what they say, go in one ear and out the other. Place your beliefs. Don't want to be just a fan, but a true follower. And thirdly, produces fruit. These are all things we as Christians can and must do as we live our lives every day for the Lord. So in conclusion, I want to say one thing about the very last verse where we stopped today, which is verse 19 of Mark 3. Judas Iscariot, parentheses, who later betrayed him. That's what Mark 3:19 says. Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Judas's example teaches us, listen to this, okay? Judas's example teaches us that you can be close to Jesus, but yet far from him if you are not careful and prayerful. Judas was with Jesus everywhere he went.
If Jesus was teaching, Judas was there. When Jesus was feeding the 5,000, along with the other disciples, Judas was there. When Jesus healed somebody, Judas saw it. Judas was with him all the time. But somewhere along the way, Judas's heart, and I don't know how, and the Bible doesn't say, somewhere along the way, Judas's heart got in the wrong place. Somewhere along the way, he got off course. He's seen the same miracles. He heard the same teaching as Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and all those did. But somewhere along the way, he got off. So here's a word of caution, and I close with this. Remember this. Star by this. Two stars by this. You are either moving toward Jesus or away from him at every moment. You are either moving toward Jesus or you're moving away from him. Disciples move toward Jesus. Fans only are followers. Well, some days I'm going for Jesus and sometime I'm not. And I'm in church and I'm out of church and I can't make up my mind. I'm so confused. Don't be confused. You may get confused. The Satan will tempt you to be confused, to tempt you. Oh, it's not that important that I go to church. It's not that important that I read my Bible, that I pray. Oh, you can do it. Come on, you're a good person. Don't let the devil. Judas didn't get away from God like, boom, all of a sudden he's over here. I believe Judas got away from God as a lot of people do, just kind of. Slow drift. Pretty soon you're a long ways away. The good news is this, the Lord is still calling you back. I believe this. I know what Judas did. Judas betrayed the Lord, and then what did he do? He went out and hung himself. You know what I believe? I believe that had Judas repented like Peter did, the Lord would have said, come on, Judas. Yeah, come back. If Judas would have went out and cried as Peter did and repented and said, oh, Father, forgive me, I believe Judas would be right back in the right way. And there might be somebody named their kids Judas in our world today. You don't ever hear somebody naming their kid Judas. That'd be like naming your kid Hitler. Nobody does that. This is my kid, Manson. Watch there be somebody really named that. The point is, Judas made a choice. And he could have come back. Peter messed up, he came back. Thomas messed up, and he came back. All of us have messed up, and we've came back. But just remember, you're either moving toward Jesus or away from him. There's no neutral setting. Well, I'm just in neutral. I'm not going further. I'm not going backwards. I'm not going forwards or backwards. I'm just right here in neutral. Can't do it. You're never in neutral. So my challenge to you today is be sure you are moving closer and stick with Jesus all the way. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Mark, as we've looked at and been looking at and will continue to look at. Thank you for the tremendous teaching and preaching and principles that are found there as to better how to live this life and, more importantly, better how to make it our home in heaven one day. And here you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray for those today who may realize that they aren't where they should be. They've moved away. I pray, Father God, that you bring them back. I pray, Father God, that you reach out in love to them. I pray, Father God, even for those who they're in their hearts, they know they're not right with God. Maybe they've never been in a relationship with you. Maybe they've just kind of been a fan all their life and not really a follower. I pray for them, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts this moment, Holy Spirit. draw them to you to let them know that you still care about them. You're like the father and the prodigal son, looking down the road, hoping and praying and longing for the day that the son would return home. Father God, we're calling all the prodigals home. We're calling all the lost people home, all those who have wandered away home. It's time to come home. It's time to come home to the Lord today. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, how many of you'd say, Pastor Steve, I need to come home. I need to get things right with God today. I need to come home. I see that hand. Any others today, you say, I need to come home. I need to get things right with God this morning. I don't want to leave here today until I know that my heart is right with God. I don't want to move away any longer. I want to continue moving toward Him. I've let the devil mess me around. I've let him tempt me and try me and trick me. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Would you stand with me this morning as the team comes to minister? These altars are open. If you need prayer this morning and you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand, let us come down and pray for you. Let's just open these altars today and let's find a place to get on our hearts and our minds what the Lord has for us. Thank you, Jesus.
I give you permission to interrupt my plans. I know yours are better than all the ones I have. I'm slowing down, tuning out everything but you. There's no rush, you're welcome to take up all the room. I don't want to be in a hurry, I don't want time. To move in this place, I don't want to be in a hurry. I don't want to miss what you want to say. I just want to give you the space to move in this place. I put aside distraction. Attention, God, make me so aware that when you're near like you are now, everything can change. There's no rush, you're welcome here to have your way. And I don't want to be in a hurry, I don't want time to get in the way. I just want to give you you this In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful. When I trust you, I don't need to understand. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. God, I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil
good. Amen. Amen. As I was praying, I felt the Lord say to me, and I actually prayed over a couple of people this today during our prayer time, but I want to speak it to all of you today, and that is this: that God has always been in the business of taking what is broken and making it whole. So if there's something in your life today that's broken, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your finance, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a relationship with a child. The Lord has always been in the business of taking what's broken and making it whole. He started on the cross with a broken mankind, broken creation, and he created a way for us all to become whole again. So today I want to encourage you. If you have something that's broken in your life, give it to Jesus. He'll make it whole again. Lord, we thank you for the service today. We thank you, Lord, that you are in the healing business. You heal marriages, you heal relationships, you heal finances, you heal bodies. Lord, you take what is broken, you make it whole again. May you give us the courage and the strength and the character to take those things in which are broken in our life and hand them back to you. Lord, if we just simply do that, your word says you will make it whole again. Lord, we praise you for this service today and for our family. We thank you, Lord, today for a pastor who has invested 30 years of his life, a pastor and his wife who said 30 years ago, we're going to come and pastor. And they've proven through their loyalty and faithfulness. Today we honor them for that, and we thank you, Lord. May honor be bestowed upon who honor is deserved. And Lord, we pray right now you would bless the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Somebody please eat a piece of cake for me. Amen.